come in, sir. What is your name?
Carlos Snow.
Sir, could you do me a favor before we get started, put the CO3 on the line?
Sure.
Who is it that makes the
Hi. You have inmate McFarlane. If he's there, could you put him on next, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and start with him. If you put inmate McFarlane on next, we'd appreciate it.
McFarlane, right?
Yes, sir. Sir, Mr. Quinones, the Honorable Luis Quinones will be conducting your hearing. His voice will be the next voice. Did you have him?
No, I thought I would have mentioned with Rodriguez. I'll read it as soon as...
No, that, I may have it. Okay.
You don't have it? Does Mr. Hill have it?
Who's this one?
Rodriguez.
Oh, no, McFarlane.
Oh, okay.
McFarlane.
No. No, McFarlane's the next one. This is Rodriguez.
Oh, this is Rodriguez?
Yes.
Oh, this is, okay, then I do have it.
No.
So, what is your name again?
Carlos Noble.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a... I don't know.
I think I have Noble.
Do you need a break?
No.
Would you like me to go send
No, sir. I just had to get the paperwork straight. No problem. Okay, Mr. Noble, could you just please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, Carlos Noble, 067769.
Okay, Mr. Noble, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line in the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. Immediately to my left, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today, sir. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, is Mr. Turner, sir. Mr. Noble, prior to your hearing today, sir, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, at this time, sir, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one. You have four allegations listed on your warrant, sir. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. The first allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 7th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 22nd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. The next allegation on the warrant states you in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 10th, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 22nd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you. So the next allegation states that you in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 11, 2018 per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 22, 2018. So is that true or false?
That's true. That's allegation number four?
Number three, sir.
Number three?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, that's true.
Okay. And sir, the fourth allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number Two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about May 15, 2018, as verbally and written directed on May 7, 2018. And I think this may be an error. It says May 7, 2015, but I think it's May 7, 2018. So I'm going to make that correction on the warrant. The offender is actually avoiding supervision, thus he's absconding from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Is it true or false? So you're saying that's...
Sir, I really can't answer that question because I never received any kind of notification.
Okay.
Nor spoke with Mr. Walton about that situation.
Okay, sir. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the parole office, Mr. Turner, and ask him allegation number four.
Okay.
Allegation number four, 5/7/2018. Peter Walton directed the offender to report on 5/15/2018. To the South Mountain Parole Office for contact. P.O. Walton wrote down for the offender the date and time he was to report. On 5/15/18, the offender filled the report in as directed. The offender is actively avoiding supervision, thus he is absconded from supervision. Follow-up. On 5/17/18, P.O. Walton went to the offender's residence and spoke with the wife of the offender's sponsor, Fred Dela Cruz. She said the offender has not been staying there consistently. The offender comes in, stays for a bit, and then leaves again, rarely overnight. Peter Walton left a non-compliance letter directing the offender to report on 5/18 by 9 a.m. On 5/18/18, the offender felt the report as directed. On 5/21/2018, Peter Walton called the offender. The offender stated he did not know that he was supposed to report. Then on 5/15/18, Peter Walton asked him about not staying at his approved residence with Fred Dela Cruz. The offender did admit he had not been staying there. P.O. Walton told the offender to report to the parole office immediately. The offender failed to report on 5/21/2018. On 5/22/2018, P.O. Walton attempted to call the offender's sponsor, Fred Dela Cruz. There was no answer. P.O. Walton left a message for him or the offender to call back. Neither Fred nor the offender called back. On 5/21/2018, Peter Walton called the offender's mother, Gloria Sample. She stated she had not spoken to the offender recently. Peter Walton asked if she hears from the offender to tell him to report in immediately. On 5/21/2018, Peter Walton contacted Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed the offender is not incarcerated there. Peter Walton has no other means to locate the offender. To this date, the offender has not made no other attempts to contact the assigned parole officer.
Okay, so Mr. Noble, what's not true about that?
What's not true about it is, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just know that I didn't receive any notification to report to him. Anytime he directed me to report to him, I did so.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, we'll probably discuss that when we get into phase two, sir, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so based on the admission of Mr. Noble and allegations 1, 2, and 3, and as far as warrant number 2018W1538 and information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner, I am going to find that Mr. Turner moved to find that Mr. Turner was delinquent as he did violate Mr. Noble did violate, was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about the lapse in two criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Ringhouse. Agreed. Mr. Quinones. Agreed. Dr. Wright. Sir, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two by first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then we're going to go over some information with you, then give you an opportunity, Mr. Noble, to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Mr. Noble was released from ADC custody on 12/26/2017 and arrested on 5/29/2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges noted. He returned back to ADC custody on 5/29/2018, with an adjusted CSED of 5/4/2019, with 14 abscond days. Current conviction, 2009, narcotic drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. 2005, aggravated assault, 6 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1987, theft, 1 year, 6 months. 1988, narcotic drug violation, 7 years. 1989, burglary second degree, 9 years, 6 months. 2001, burglary third degree, 2 years, 6 months. 2005, narcotic drug violation, 3 years, 6 months. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. He is a suspected member of the New Mexican Mafia. Prior terms of supervision, 1988, parole release completed 8 months. 1996, TR release completed 9 months. 2003, TIS release absconded for 25 days, arrested and revoked by BOEC. 2008, TIS release absconded for 9 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, assault with a weapon, threatening staff, extortion, disorderly conduct, striking a person noted. Other arrests. 1979, assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1980, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1987, forgery, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1989, theft, Arizona County Jail. 1989, burglary, Arizona County Jail. 1998, narcotic drug violation, Arizona unknown. 2000, aggravated assault, Arizona unknown. Has a GB score of G5, D6.
Okay. So, Mr. Noble, I see that when you were released on December 26th, you had to approve residence to stay with your mother, Ms. Gloria Sample, at 1608 West Fremont in Phoenix. Then it looks like on May 30th, you moved to a friend's apartment at 3693rd Street, number 8 in Mesa, Arizona. Then it looks like on May 7th, you moved in with your friend, Fred Delacruz, at 4128 West Laura Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. This was your last known address, sir. Why did you move out from that residence, sir?
I never did move out from there. As a matter of fact, the 25th of May, I contacted P.O. Walton, and I told him that I'd like to put my stuff in storage, my property, and settle my financial situation, and that I would be in to see him on that Monday, which was Memorial Day, so that wouldn't have been work. But anyway, that I would be in to see him, and he could do what he had to do, because I didn't want to go any further.
Okay, so it also says that, sir, you have some programming that you were placed there on April 27th. You were placed at MRC for a 3-day sanction, and you did not attend any other treatment while you were on supervision. Is that right?
That's correct. I wasn't directed to.
So you were assigned the urinalysis testers, and you had the color code maroon. Just said you submitted 5 samples while on supervision, and the samples on December 28th, 2017, January 30th of 18, and February 12th of 18 were negative. The offender's urine samples on March 29th of 18 was positive for THC. And then it says that your sample was positive for methamphetamine and THC on April 19th of 2018. Did you relapse, or what happened, sir?
Well, that first positive urine sample was, I called Mr. Walton after talking with my supervisor that I was working for, and let him know that the guy that I was working with at the time was smoking one of those vape type, you know, the vapor types, where he had marijuana inside of it, and sometimes that wax stuff that they're talking about. And one night he offered it to me, and I said, no, I have tobacco, rolling tobacco. He goes, it's not rolling tobacco. And I told him, well, what is it? And he told me there was marijuana. And I jumped on him, you know, I didn't feel he could abuse him or anything, but I jumped on him verbally about doing that, not, you know, telling him that I was on parole. Okay, so I contacted my PO that next day because it was a graveyard shift that I was working. And I told him the whole thing. And I told him that I just came home seeing my supervisor and requesting to be changed to a new crew. And he did so. But anyway, after that, then, yes, I did start smoking marijuana.
Okay. So I'm also looking on here, it says that on May 2nd, that P.O. Walton received a call from your mother and stated that she had kicked you out of the house on April 30th, and that she does not want you to move back there. She said that you guys got into an argument when he was released from MRC, and you told him to get, she told you to get out. And then she said you left her threatening text messages saying that you hope she dies from a heart attack and things along those lines. However, you did move out and you moved to your friend's apartment. And then says the PO called and asked you about the change of residence. You admitted your mother had kicked you out. And then you didn't tell your PO that you had changed. And your PO asked you why you didn't tell him coming to the office when this occurred. And you didn't give him my answer. I only said that you told him that you were looking for your own place. Then you went to mumble something about how he has been suffering verbally abuse from his mother his whole life. And the PO told you to report in that day. It looks like that on May 2nd, you reported in, stated that you were currently residing at 36 North 63rd Avenue, number 8 in Mesa. You were staffed there. You explained the apartment belongs to your sister's boyfriend, who's never there and rents through his SSI. We advise the offender he is currently residing will not work, that the current place will not work out for a long term. We also advise the offender that he would need to enter into a more consistent treatment. Then he said that he has a friend who could own some properties that you could rent, and then you move in the next several days. Walton directed the offender report on 5-7, and will provide the residence information to bring friends who will be renting from. And it looks like on May 7th, you were placed on a CAP and advised the residence cannot be confirmed, and you also placed in a halfway house. If he tested positive, told that you were going to be placed in a halfway house. If he tested positive again, and then you will be placed back at MRC. Looks like on May 4th, your mother came into the office. She reported that on April 30th, you had laid hands on your mother. She had bruises on her. She did say that the police was responding was after the offender, after you left. She said that she did not create a report and gave information for an order of protection according to her, that you came over. She then got a bat. You then grabbed her arm, which caused the bruises. Says that you got the bat, and her grandson came in and took the bat. She says she kicked you out right then. She also said that you had been doing strange things, behaviors since your release, including sending $1,500 to a lawyer and getting a marriage arranged for a woman in Nigeria. Looks like on May 7th, you reported in too late to be seen by a cop. You then began to dispute the fact. You were being sent into counseling. You were fidgety and could not sit still while being talked to. It seemed that you could not focus either. They directed you to submit a urine sample that day. P.O. Walton wrote down the offender's next report date, that's 5:15, and reminded him he will be placed on treatment at that time. So what happened? Did you get into it with your mother, sir, and then you relapsed, or what happened?
No, I didn't relapse, actually. But what I did get into with her about, and I never touched her.
Okay.
You know, she's since I was 10 years old, she's been physically and verbally abusive.
Okay.
And my father, he was more communicative, you know, than passed on since then. But anyway, my little brother was there the whole time. He paid my mom just to leave, let me leave. All I wanted her to do was give me the money that she was holding from me, which was like 900 bucks, so I could, you know, go get my own place. Once she found out that I was with this girl, first thing came out of her, her response was, you're being scammed, you know. And I don't know where that came from, but you know, I didn't see it that way. I'm not a dumb man. I do make bad choices, you know, I have made bad choices. But I'm not a dumb man. I'm not just gonna give my money to somebody, even though they're in the scamming, one of the scamming capitals of the world, you know. I'm not just gonna give my money up like that, but that's a whole different issue. Back to the, no, I did not touch her.
Okay.
She got the bat, my little brother told her when he seen she was going to the bat. After I asked her, just give me my money and I'll leave. She got the bat, came towards me, swung it. Her being her age, there's no way she's gonna hit me with a bat. So I just grabbed the bat and threw a swing, hurt my wrist with a bat, and I held on to it. And I tried to pull it from her with one hand, and she wouldn't let it go. So that's when my little nephew came in, my brothers. You know.
So what happened when you tested positive for the methamphetamine and marijuana, THC?
Well, like I told you, the last two THCs, yes, I did smoke. I did use marijuana. And I had brought it to my PO's attention that I wanted to get my medical marijuana card. And he stated that I could, once I caught up my Voorhees, and I did that, but I never pursued the card after that. You know, I decided, you know, what kind of employment, you know, am I going to be able to receive being on marijuana? You know, yeah, I may be 55 years old, but I'm still well physically capable of working. I have no problem about that.
Okay.
And so I decided that was a bad choice, you know. But as far as the meth, I have never used meth in my life. And this is why I'm going to exercise the right to, the oath that I took, you know. I have never used meth in my life.
Okay, so what happened on the
heroin? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
Heroin and marijuana, yes, I use that. But, you know, and alcohol, but I'm not a big alcohol dreamer. Because usually the employment that I get involves driving, so that's on occasion, very seldom.
Okay, so what
other question, sir?
What happened with the accident that you had in Scottsdale?
That lady was at the crosswalk. We just finished. I worked for a pressure washing company. We pressure wash Circle K's and corner stores, the Valeros. And so we just finished Circle K right down Scottsdale and Continental. And I pulled out, pulled up to the light, heading eastbound. And the light turned green for me to go. And so I eased on and out. Now when I'm making my left turn, my coworker says, "Watch out." And I hit the brakes real quick and held them. And I had knocked the lady over. I didn't hit her dead on. I hit her with the side of the fender, you know, as I'm turning. That turn makes, you know, me a loss to the elderly lady.
Okay.
And all the witnesses, they came. I was the one that contacted the police. And the lady, she spoke Spanish. She did not want anybody to call the police. She was undocumented. I called them anyway because that's the thing to do, you know. And then I contacted my supervisor, and he came to the scene.
Okay. So why the last two times that you were on community supervision, you absconded, sir. So why did you not maintain contact with your PO for 14 days?
still statewide traveling. That was Prescott.
So what was he doing when he came in contact with Phoenix PD?
Phoenix PD?
Yes, sir.
When you came arrested me?
Yes, sir.
I was calling in. I was trying to drag one down so that I could return back to custody.
Okay.
Because like I told you, the 28th was my plan to go see Peter Walton, but that was Memorial Day, so the first officer I seen her in that morning, I flagged her down, and it went from there. I really don't know, you know. She wanted to see my ID first, and I told her, when she went to go run me, I told the other officer, when she runs me, she's probably going to find that I have a violation of parole.
All right, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Sir, seeing no additional questions coming from the board, we come to the conclusion of your hearing, Mr. Noble. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion without repeating yourself?
No, actually, as long as I'm in my positive circle, and I do have a positive circle out there of friends that I've grown up with since fourth grade, and none of them have any kind of long encounters or breaking the law, or no incarceration or anything. So I consider them my positive circle, and they're very supportive. And there's a few family members also that are part of that circle. But when, you know, I've always let the smallest thing interfere with my focus. I lost my focus, and, you know, hence, you know, my incarcerations, you know, my decisions. And I'm not going to say mistakes, because mistake is, to me, is premeditated. You know what you're going to do already. So it's not a mistake. It's, you know, there's only two ways about it. It was intentional, you know. So I just have to get on back on track. And, you know, regardless of whether I'm granted or not, I'm working on that positivity right now anyway. And I have been since I left Alhambra.
All right, sir. Mr. Noble, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line, however, to remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination while we're in discussion whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision and get back with you, okay?
I understand. Thank you.
All right. The board's now into discussion. It appears that Mr. Noble was on the right track for a while. He was doing well. He did have some complications with his mother, and he said that his mother has just verbally abused him for a very long time. He did move out from his mother. He does work, and during that period of time that he was also working, however, says that he just lost his focus, and he need to get back in focus, that he turned himself into the PD, as he states, that was his contact with Phoenix PD, says he flagged someone down and turned himself in. However, his last two times that he was out on community supervision, he absconded one time for 25 days, the other time for 9 days, this time for 14 days. So he knows the importance of maintaining contact with his parole officer throughout the time that he's out on parole. Therefore, I think that he had also tested positive for methamphetamine and marijuana. Although he says he never used methamphetamine, but he did use heroin while he was out. Therefore, I think it would be best for Mr. Noble to stay incarcerated. He will be released on May 4th of 2019. During this time, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. Hopefully, he would have gotten himself together and on the right track, so that when he gets out, he could remain on the right track. That's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. If I have any comments, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Noble, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as he did abscond and was using illegal drugs.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Motion by myself, second Ms. Whitehouse, agree Dr. Wright, agree Mr. Canales. Okay, Mr. Noble, the board is voting to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on May 4th of 2019, sir. Hopefully you will take advantage of any programming while you're there, sir, and that when you get out, as you stated, sir, that you will have your focus and be able to hang around with positive people, not have any more negative contact with law enforcement or ever have to come back before this board again. Thank you for participating in your hearing today, Mr. Noble. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
Thank you.
Okay.